Man, this week is flying, folks. I can't speak for everybody out there, but boy, it sure seems like it is for us. With Miami Dolphins now looking for a new head coach and all the drama around the organization. But let's get to something good before we get into all that stuff. Well, actually, two really good stories right now. First, the Miami Heat and taking care of the Atlanta Hawks and just continuing. Got to the halfway point, the reason I bring it up early. Halfway point of the season, yes, 41 games, 26-15. And Spo is doing some of his best work. And I know we've said this before. It sounds like a broken record since I've been doing radio, since he's been the head coach. But this is pretty damn good. Martin, Yurtseven, Strus. Reason I bring those three names up, they're all in the starting lineup last night. He's kind of reshuffled things a little bit, which, by the way, the coach does a lot, and it works. And seven players in double figures last night, and just playing great without their two big dogs. Their payroll still not healthy, and now coming home for a ton of games over the next couple of weeks, catching up on some home games and a chance to really expand things. 8 of 9 actually will be at home Friday and Saturday and Monday. It's, by the way, I wish there's one thing, and this is not for everybody, because the Panthers and the Heat, I think it's a lot of it's a different fan base. I do. I don't know, Zach, if you agree with
that. Yeah, I think there are two different. I mean, I know people that probably like both, but there are definitely two different, completely different fan base.
And then there's people like us who like every sport and or like a lot of the different sports, or at least the big four or three of the four in most cases. I can't speak for everybody out there. But I just wish they weren't playing on the same damn night coming up here, because the Panthers, as good as the Heat are playing, the Panthers have the best record in the NHL right now, 24-7-5, 19-3 at home, with Dallas and Columbus coming up here Friday and Saturday for anybody who needs a Panthers fix. So we got some great stories. As bad as the football stuff is and as dysfunctional as it looks with the Miami Dolphins, the Panthers and the Heat really have got it rolling now. And
I saw a funny tweet about the Heat yesterday. I think it was Tim Reynolds that sent this out, and he goes, "This is Spo's best coaching job in his Hall of Fame career."
Did he say that?
And I go,
"Oh man, I feel
a Hall of Fame career." Like, I think Spo is like a young coach still. Right. I don't know why I have that in my head. Maybe because he doesn't look old, like physically, but that was just kind of crazy. I'm like, "Well, yeah, Spo probably already is a Hall of Fame coach, and he's going to coach for what, another 20 years?
As long as he wants, and long after Pat Riley." You know, the surprise actually is not Spo. The surprise is, I think a lot of us thought Pat Riley was going to be living in the West Coast with his movie star neighbors and
Malibu,
all his cars,
right? Yeah.
And was going to be really into getting back to California, Southern California, his old Laker days, and kind of ride out to the sunset in a nice little yacht and having some champagne at night and relaxing. And Pat Riley's working as hard now as he ever has into his 70s, and it just looks like he's just friggin' motivated to get back. And this team's got a chance to get back to the promised land again. So,
isn't there a boredom of, like, retirement, though? That's why you'll never retire. Mm.
I think there is some of that,
Woody.
What will
you do if you were to retire? Like, if you retire,
why get back to me, Woody?
Because you're the only old person I know. but, like, if you retired at the end of this week, what would you do Monday?
No.
Who would listen to you talk about the playoff games?
His wife.
No one. No. She would not listen. Right. No.
Daughters?
I feel like you and the mirror would have a lot of conversations, man.
I have noticed, so she's good at, like, whatever she's doing her own thing and like, nodding her head and going, yeah. And I realize she's just doing that.
She's appeasing to what's going on.
So I'll leave her alone and like, yeah. And she knows, and, like, I go, hey, I don't know why I just threw that at you. She got no idea who Chris Greer is. I'm sitting there bitching about Chris Greer having a job. Right. And I realize she has no idea.
Right.
She asked me, is Chris the neighbor down the street? I saw you talking to him. Mm. Is that somebody new? Anyway, do you talk
about that in your house?
No.
Like, do you go in,
no.
Can you believe Chris Greer survived?
No.
Who?
You can't do that.
That, by the way.
How far is that going to go?
That would seriously be like, honey, what do you think? Like, she's got... I have no idea who he is. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. She's very limited on the roster, too, by the way, and the coaching staff. knows. Well, she asks about the same. It's always the same group. She does know who Tua is, and she always asks me how the big five are that are in my life during football season just about every day. So she always wants to know about the big five, which we're not saying their name during this time.
No.
During this very stressful time.
Keep them out of the news.
And
right,
by the way, I said I wasn't going to do this today, but guys, Omar Kelly came out with one, in my opinion, and partially because I agree with it, Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel came out with one of the best articles, and I'm kind of zoned in with Omar as far as watching what he's been through. Now, listen, Omar, I don't know if he's been open because I know he's got a deal with can't come on our show and stuff right now. So, but Omar went through a really rough time with Brian Flores. He basically got suspended, which is kind of a joke because you really can't get suspended for something that he tweeted or something he did on social media that the team asked not go out. But instead of whatever, Ann handling it, who's head of communications, the coach took care of it.
Right.
And he's, as we know, he's rough around the edges. So it was bad, and it caused you a lot of friction because Omar wasn't going to let that stuff go.
No.
And so his stuff had a little edge to it, and I think people in the business kind of noticed, and he started – So this stuff's all going on. But let me just tell you something. Omar has stepped back and truly has a really, really good article. How did general manager Chris Greer survive again? But he didn't just throw that out like a dogpiling article. He put a lot of good stuff. He actually put some stuff that we haven't even talked about. So I just want to say this, if you get a chance, and we do this. Listen, I'm not ashamed to do it. From time to time, somebody's got a really good article, and you see they put some time and thought into it, and it's not just filling up space in our papers. This was a good one. This had a little substance to it, and so I thought it was really good. He brought up a lot of good stuff. He got some people to talk about Chris Greer, the great survivor, one of the great survivors in the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise, to be quite honest here. I don't think anybody could argue with me, and nobody who works
are
around it
kidding?
Could go.
Right.
If they were all to get one-on-one, they'd probably go and didn't have to worry about kissing ass over there. They'd say, you know, you're right.
Now it's worked for him.
You're right.
Not just with the Dolphins, by the way. One of the great job survivors of all time.
Yes.
Like, he sets the bar for surviving jobs. Like, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, look at the last 20 years of the Dolphins franchise. Mediocre, maybe a shiny object because you made the playoffs one year. Mediocre, bad. He's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Through all that.
He has, and part of what you're saying is because he hasn't been in control
right. All
those years, is the people around him, sometimes when they get blown out, they usually, if a GM goes, assistant GM will also get blown out. And
he's the ultimate
survivor. He has been. And by the way, part of his deal is he's got great people skills, which, hey, it ain't all bad. And getting in with the right people, knowing how to play the game, and knowing the decision makers and making sure that you stay on the good side of them. And he has done it. And this thing. So anyway, if you get a chance to read the article today, whether you like Omar or not, I know some of you do and some of you don't, and either side. But if you like a good article that maybe explains a little bit of it.
Oh, there's details.
I just think this is some really, really good stuff. And by the way, one of the reasons I say that's because I agree with about 98% of that article, you know, with his personality. And so when you're in a relationship and the same thing keeps happening over and over again, basically you're the GM. And when it first starts, you're real nice and you're doing everything. You're going overboard to really work for the guy that's supposed to be under you, better known as the head coach. And then all of a sudden, that power thing switches, and Adam Gase and Brian Flores, completely different personalities, but wanted more power as they had success early on. And all of a sudden, the whole thing changes. And like, look at that's on you a little bit too, Chris. You whatever, you decided you weren't the GM, you didn't start acting like a GM. You were seriously acting like a West Coast scout instead of overseeing the thing. So,
well,
so
that's the biggest problem that's been happening in this organization for the last 7 or 8 years.
Well, and the other thing is, no matter who it is, bottom line is, like, there have been a lot of people that don't like each other that work together throughout.
We've seen huge, that also. Yeah.
Huge egos in sports. There's huge egos. And so I was lucky because we just had one huge, huge ego, and that ego controlled everything. And he and the owner, it's well documented, he and Mr. Robbie went at it pretty good, but they were both smart enough to work things out when it looked like, I guess, and I didn't realize it was real close to heading south, and they got that thing worked out. Actually, it was done through a Catholic priest. The story's phenomenal.
Right.
Got them to both sit down, and I heard it at Don Shula's special event that we had for him after he passed away. And I heard the bishop telling the story, the bishop, the head of the Catholic Church down here. And I was blown away. And he told the story. He openly told the story. And, you know, the Shula family was there. Some of the Robbie family was there. And I was, you know, and so it always, I get that these things are never perfect because there is a lot of ego. Everybody thinks it's just the players that have huge egos.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of ego throughout these organizations. But all I want to do going forward is, like, they got to sit down. No, seriously. They got to sit down with Chris. No matter how much they love him and they want to go to bed with him and jump in for another. You guys, come on, man. You guys got to at least sit down, and we got to set, along with whoever the new head coach is going to be, we got to set up some rules and regulations for everybody's title and how things are going to work.
Parameters of the job. This is what your job entitles. This is what you're going to get blamed for. This is what you're going to get praised for. Like, that's, I don't think that's there right now.
Well, and the biggest problem is, and Omar does a good job of this in the article, is your job was a quarterback and offensive line were two of the top priorities, and you failed miserably. And that's got to, at the end of the day, no matter how we get there, ego, well, you're taking too much credit for what, that's fine. We can have the ego thing back and forth, but we just want to be on the same page. Like, okay, guys, okay, we're having a little peeing contest here, but I just want to let you know it doesn't matter because we hit on a bunch of good players and it works for all of us. It's working. And we've hit on certain things defensively, a wide receiver, but we have whiffed
right
on some other stuff on offense. And it's just not
main
good
parts
enough
of the offense.
So anyway, I just thought Omar did a really nice job on that article, and I said I wasn't going to do it into day 4. I said I was going to stop at 3, and then Omar just put an extra big piece of bait out there, and he just hooked me right in. He just friggin' hooked me right in. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. Big show. By the way, Zach Thomas, man, I don't know if it's me, but I'm feeling pretty good that Zach Thomas got a chance in his third try to get into that Hall of Fame. Man, I keep looking at all those names. And by the way, speaking of names, 3 UM guys, at least one of them, if you do the odds, 3 and 15, there's 15 finalists. There's 3 from the U. One of them's got to get in. We'll have more on that when we come back. Stay with us.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high
as a kite by then. I've been that high too, folks. I want to let you know I've been as high as you can get, short of dying high.
I don't want to.
Is this song about drugs?
I don't know. It's got everything.
What's it about?
I don't know, man. I think it's from the old Yellow Brick Road album, but it's...
It's got a little everything.
You ever see the Elton John movie?
No.
I have.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a musical. You wouldn't like it.
Right.
No, if it's musical, if it's not an actual... No, if it goes musical in the middle of it, and that's what happened with the old Elton. I went, turn.
The guy who's in it is really good, so he plays... have you seen the movie Sing or Sing 2?
No.
With the singing animals?
I don't think Joe's seen that yet. When was the last time you saw your grandkids in town or whatever? That would be when you ask him if you've seen that movie.
Get them the movie Sing. Right. It's a bunch of singing animals, and he plays the gorilla.
It's great, Woody.
Oh.
That's great. A Woody and me conversation great. When he gives me it's something good, to no, watch no, from Matthew.
Great for
right.
our audience. That's just what our audience is about.
I think a lot of people watch that movie. Is.
Woody's like the year ahead of me where he gives me the Woody. Stuff, right? Yeah, but when he asks you that, that's why I asked. The first thing I say back is, when's the last time you saw your grandkids? Because if you did, maybe you did see Sam and didn't realize
and
it.
By right. the way, I am looking forward to seeing those little whippersnappers. I'm not going to lie. But so I like doing it. Like, for people that are grandparents out there, and I just had this conversation with some of the guys because we're all having grandkids kind of the same time here. And I said, you know, I really like seeing them, and I like the few really good quality hours, but I don't like when it becomes all day. I don't like when they go, hey, we're going out. Do you mind? And my wife likes it, but no, I don't want to be with 12, 13 straight hours with a nap in there with a one-year-old running around, falling off chairs and hitting his head and like breaking something. And then, you know, because the biggest mistake those kids make is, Dad, you got to pay attention. You got to watch them. No. Did you raise your voice at me about your kid? Man.
I don't have the you-know-whats to do that yet, I guess. Like, I mean, I invite the parents over for, you know, grandparents' time, or they just show up sometimes just to be there.
But, oh, you got different deal.
But I can't do it for 10, 12 hours. No. Like, I would feel bad kind of doing that.
It's a little bit of
work. I ran to Publix and I asked my mom to watch, you know, Matthew.
You got a great deal. You got the family right close. Here too. It's good and allows you a little more freedom.
But you get 12-hour shifts? Like, you've gotten
that
before?
Well, I did on my Lake Tahoe vacation.
Oh, on vacation you had the baby.
Me and the one-year-old got to know each other really well. Matter
of
fact,
are you for hire by any chance?
No.
Leon is a huge fan of yours. He loves your voice.
I just
want to
wrap.
Excited.
I just want to wrap this up. But like, if he was going to bed at 8:30 at night, my ass was right behind him. They're going, and they're all going, Dad, stay up with us. I'll stay up. I just took care of that kid all day. I'm exhausted.
It's full circle.
I'm going to bed. Grab me a friggin' drink.
It's a circle of life. Then now you're going to sleep the same time as your grandkid.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that for a while anyway. Hey, listen.
You think these kids at some point want to get out on their own and do something and just they're there every day.
Yeah.
My son's been, he's five, but he never wants to, like, go out on his own and explore the
and
town.
They get attached to their
walk around downtown by himself.
Well, he will be. Don't. Hey, time flies, man. Yeah. Don't be wishing
song?
That one. But, hey, real quickly, I want to get into this. With Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, and Devin Hester on it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool for UM fans, and we've talked about the great history and the great players, and here's three more that don't necessarily get talked about when we talk about the greatest Canes of all time. Matter of fact, none of those guys get mentioned. And here they are, obviously great, great players, or they wouldn't be a finalist for the Hall of Fame. But I thought it was really cool, besides Zach Thomas, who I'm rooting really hard for, and I feel like he's got a really good chance to get there on his third try of eligibility for the Hall of Fame. But Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, who, by the way, like, their stats are so close, so close. And then one of the most unique players in the history of the NFL that – I can tell the writers don't know how to treat this with Devin Hester because he's a return specialist. And so through the years, I've noticed we've had trouble with punters, great field goal kickers, and return guys. This return thing's kind of new. Now, Deion was the greatest return man of all time, but he was also the greatest cover corner of all time. So it was a no-brainer. And so I never want to take that with, of course, great speed, one of the fastest men ever to play.
But Devin Hester was one of the greatest weapons in NFL history.
Devin Hester had a great skill set. And by the way, I mean, it was just crazy. I still remember being here. And we went through with Devin Hester exactly what the NFL went through. And we kind of, like, Coker doesn't know how to use Devin Hester. And you're like, well... Is he going to be a really good cover corner because he had great speed and great skill set? Or is he going to be a receiver? And he went right to the NFL, and we never got an answer except one thing. He was the greatest, now officially the greatest return specialist in the history of the NFL. And I feel like a lot of the old writers, and I haven't talked to Armando. I was going to reach out to Armando tonight, and because Armando Seguero's got a vote. about how he feels about a guy that had 19 touchdowns, 14 punt return touchdowns, and 5 kickoff return, including the kickoff return in the Super Bowl.
Right?
That was fantastic. I think he also had another one. I don't know. What do you call it where you kick the long field goal and it comes up short? And he's underneath right at the end of the end zone and returned it 110 yards.
I don't know what you'd qualify that as outside of a touchdown at the end of it.
But I believe he had one of those, too.
A bad field goal attempt.
Right. So does he get in? Do you think he gets in?
I don't think he does right now, but everybody's talking about him. And, again, you know, the guys that don't get in, it doesn't mean they're not unbelievable players. This list, whether it's DeMarcus Ware or Rondé Barber or anybody else that you might like, but I do really like, and I'm curious to all UM fans who have followed this. And again, when we talk about the great UM players, please don't take this the wrong way. Nobody talks about Reggie, Andre, or Mr. Hester.
Right.
People are aware how good they are. Speaking of two first-round picks and a second-round pick, they're damn good, don't get me wrong, and great NFL players.
Does Reggie and Andre hurt each other by being in this class together with the numbers?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one.
Because we've seen that before with, you know, other linebackers that go in there with Zach or this guy with this left tackle and this left tackle.
Let me give you a couple of things. First of all, Andre Johnson never played with a great quarterback. So let's throw that out.
Right.
And Reggie got to play with a good one. Now, that shouldn't take away from anything. Poor Reggie's lives down here, too, and Andre, I can hear them both going, really? But I don't know how that comes into play. Like, Andre Johnson, to me, is clearly the greatest player to ever play in that franchise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
JJ, nothing against you, bro, but Andre was, and he went to some bad teams.
Horrible teams, right?
They beat us, but they were really bad teams.
Right.
So I'm just curious to all UM fans out there, who would you like to see get in there? All, again, I'm not taking away one over the other. The fact that they're 15, they're the 15 final, three of the 15 finalists tells you all you need to know. Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, and Devin Hester are fantastic, great players. That and as good as they were in college, they were a lot better in the pros, which is incredible, and we seem to say that about a lot of those UM guys. You know what? It is crazy. All the UM guys were drafted in the first couple of rounds. Most of them ended up having better careers in the pros, Frank Gore, than he did. I didn't think Frank Gore was going to make it. He had two ACLs. Like, oh, that poor guy's already had two ACLs. He's going to get torn up in the pros. One of the most durable running backs in the history. And go down as one of the great running backs of all time.
Made it to the one name list in the running backs.
So we've got three. And listen, I could throw the numbers out there, and I don't want to do that. But
is it a one vote kind of? Is that what you want to get here? You get one.
No,
vote
no,
for
no.
Three,
I was just wondering if you had one guy that you'd like to see get in this year. It's not. I'm not trying to rank them or anything else. Would it be Reggie, Andre? I mean, completely different style of players And then Devin Hester is the one that everybody's going to be talking about because nobody – he's got some offensive numbers. He's got a few defensive numbers. Remember he used to play nickel back a little bit and we kind of got on Coker because, like, Coker, you don't know how to – now you're trying to kiss his ass to get him to come back another year. And Hester goes, no, I'm done, man. Like, you can't figure out how to use me, and you got me doing this and that, a little bit of everything.
Let me get paid for it.
And then come to find out that was his career, a little bit offense, a little bit defense, and dominant return stuff, which is the hardest thing to do, is return kicks. Look, we had a guy here that we thought was pretty damn good, who we got rid of this year, and he's got, what, 4 or 5 returns? And we're looking at him as one of the best we've ever had, if not the best we ever had. And you get this guy's got 19 friggin' touchdowns.
He's incredible.
On returns. Just incredible, incredible numbers. Anyway, hey, listen, a bunch of other stuff to get to here this morning. I saw these stats, and just a reminder about how this thing works in professional sports. And not to throw it in anybody's face, I was actually shocked by the numbers. I don't know if you saw yesterday the 2021 NFL regular season average numbers per game came out at 17.1 million viewers for a three-hour game on average. That's what the league did on average, 17 million per game. And then, so I was kind of curious, and I don't want to look it up, so somebody actually did the work. The World Series last year, World Series baseball, did 11.75 average during the World Series. And the NBA Finals, this is the part that surprised me the most. They did 10 million. Baseball
beat basketball.
Did better than the NBA. And by the way, they don't even have the hockey numbers in there, so I'm not going to.
That is surprising, though, baseball over basketball.
Because you go by your market, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, man, we got 1 foot in the grave down here for baseball. And I don't, you know, and they're trying to fix it. And they've added some guys. And you've heard more urgency coming out of Miami with the Marlins to get this thing turned around.
But I'm just guessing you took 10 people down here and asked them, there's a Heat game on or
not even close.
A Marlins game on. I'm thinking nine or all
not
10.
Not even close.
Heat, right?
You handed same tickets down low. And they're all running to Miami, but a different part, not going the same place.
Tickets, not even close.
No, but just on TV, just in general. There's a Heat game on
this channel.
Are
you surprised, though? The World Series did 11.75, and the NBA averaged 10 million.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. That's very surprising to me.
Well, the NBA had a weird matchup in the finals, though.
I had to think about that for a sec. Yeah, Phoenix, not necessarily good for the NBA.
I mean, it was different. I kind of enjoyed it because it was a little different, but, you know, you didn't have your usual stars that – I think draw people to the.
I think our.
I don't
market,
think Giannis is like that kind of a. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't. Well, probably not because of the numbers, but Giannis is not that kind of a star that like I think you flock to the TV to watch him play.
Still
is
the NBA Finals.
You can say whatever you want. It's still the NBA Finals.
I mean, it's
no,
the NBA
I know,
Finals.
I know, but
you
I
know
don't
whoever
think,
wins that series is a champion,
yeah.
And that's every city's
I just
goal.
Think that series is not going to draw in the casual fan that's going to watch if the Lakers are in, you know, and LeBron's playing, and
okay.
You got that going for you.
Right.
You guys want to try to guess the two teams that had the highest rated regular season game? This one didn't completely surprise me.
For NFL?
Yeah.
God, I knew. The obvious one to me would have been that Sunday Night Football.
Well, the Cowboys are part of it.
Wasn't it the Thanksgiving game?
The Cowboys and the Raiders did
really?
40 million.
Whoa.
In 3 hours.
Wow. I would have thought, honestly, it was New England Tampa
And by
Bay.
The way, guess who had the second game? Also the Cowboys. Look, we can say whatever
the
we
Cowboys.
Want about the Cowboys being America's team and it pisses people off.
No, they are, though.
They're good for business.
Yeah. I mean, of course they are. That's why they're on, you know, Monday or Sunday the most.
This ain't just about Dallas people, like 100% of the TVs in Dallas watching. This is – Dallas got a big old fan base around the country.
I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means, but it's a very intriguing product. Like, I'm actually very interested to watch their game this weekend. I mean, it's an intriguing product, man. They play in that mega stadium there, and, you know, they got a lot of big personalities on that team. They're fun to watch.
But if –
How about this, though? The Cowboys in Kansas City, the second most regular season, 28.7 million.
Well, I could see that. It's Dallas, like you said, and then it's Kansas City with Mahomes. But how is Tampa Bay and New England that game? That
you know
so
who else
tight?
Is in a bunch of those games? I just looked at top 10. I was just curious, trying to get a – Green Bay Packers are in a lot of games, too. Figure that one out. Green Bay's
Green
in the middle
Bay.
Of nowhere with about population 50,000.
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Lion Aaron Rodgers is fun
That's
to watch.
It.
But I think Patrick Mahomes is the most, maybe the most exciting individual player to watch in any sport.
Yeah.
Right? I think Patrick Mahomes is just.
Mahomes does do some
There's really
things.
No, there's no one else that does that for me. Like, he is
there
just
a guy,
so much fun to watch.
But there was a guy before this year. And he had a big old drop off, Lamar Jackson with the injury bug.
Bert I don't think those guys have a whole lot in common, man. I'm sorry.
Well, one guy's
I
a Super Bowl winning quarterback. The other one,
Lamar Jackson, does things that no other human beings can do when he takes off and runs. We've never seen anybody run like that.
I don't know. Patrick Mahomes is just to me
is on a
completely
sidearm,
different level.
I'm not
some of the stuff that he does. Like, he's just must see TV for me. He's again as far as like most entertaining individual athletes go. Patrick Mahomes is right up there on the top of the list.
Also, think about what he did in the playoff run when he let every team go up about three touchdowns
and
kept you watching until the end.
He did. Yeah. That was going back a couple years, but you're right. He did do that stuff. All right, so listen, we've got a lot more stuff to get to
Cowboys,
here this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? 40 million.
That's an incredible.
I thought they were gone. I go, wait, we haven't started the playoffs.
Right.
40 million. That was that. I don't even know when that game was. Raiders Cowboys. Was that the
Thanksgiving
Thursday?
Game?
I don't know.
I think it might have been. We talked about this the other day. We did some of those numbers, but I'm just curious. Do you think the Cowboys win one here? We'll get your picks tomorrow, obviously.
Playoff game or a Super Bowl?
No, not a Super Bowl.
They got a lot of talent, though, man.
They're
I
good.
Know they do.
Yeah.
They're also huge chokers in the playoffs. Huge
San Fran's tough.
My question is, how's everybody going to play in that friggin' weather in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Mm. That stuff is the coldest place I've ever been. I don't know, man. It's close. I shouldn't say that. Buffalo's right up there.
Well, Buffalo. Tua's not playing, so
right, you're okay.
We'll be okay.
I was hoping that we could leave the Tua thing.
Well, you bring up cold weather. What do you think?
By the way, I do love that the other story has become the – and one of the final decisions for ownership was – the coach, the way he talked to Tua at halftime, I'm like, I hope that wasn't part of this. That's part of football. If you haven't had your ass chewed out, oh, man, that's an old school thing. Maybe it's not. All right. Right now, I want to tell you about something you don't have to get chewed out about. It's just a really good product that you're going to enjoy. Your South Florida Chevy dealers, man. One hot SUV family for you. Whether you're looking for something new or used right now, you got to stop by your South Florida Chevy dealerships. With all these convenient locations all over South Florida. Let's start with the big SUVs, the new Tahoes and Suburbans, man. Got a brand new look. Yep, sporty look. I love it. And more space. They didn't have to tell me anything more than that. Wait a second. If you're getting a big SUV, it's not only about you being comfortable at 6'4", but it's about the family being comfortable and having all that extra space when more people are heading out on a little vacation with you. And then you look at the midsize SUVs, that new Traverse. Oh, my gosh. It does not feel like a midsize SUV in the back seat. It's got plenty of space for you and the whole family. And then our smaller SUVs, the new Trailblazers, the Blazers, and the Equinox. Plenty of style and substance for you and the whole family to go with all those Silverado trucks that will fit your life perfectly. Strong, durable, beautiful Silverado trucks. Hey, listen, don't take it from me. If you're starting to look around here for the new year, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. You're going to be blown away. Dave Broward in Monroe County, find new roads and fall in love today. It's your South Florida Chevy dealers.